What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and we are talking about how to change practically. I've used the idea of the Bible providing steps to change. And when many of us think about change, it's really this seemingly nebulous, big picture, hard to get your arms around it concept. We'll say we know we need to change. Perhaps we even know where we need to change. But to give us practical steps is a struggle. So this past episode, last week, and then now today, and then one more episode next week, they're dedicated to exactly that, helping you understand the biblical process for change, which is best encapsulated with put off, put on, be renewed, or put off, be renewed, put on. It depends on how you want to order be renewed. What I'm going to do is actually speak to being renewed in our last part of this series. Today, I want to address the put ons of Scripture. So if you have your Bible, and I hope you do, open it up, familiarize yourself with this passage. I'm encouraging you guys to work on memorization as just part of how the Lord uses the Scripture to transform you. And the particular verse that I'm encouraging you to renew your mind with is Ephesians 4:22, which says to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires. So last episode, I said that to put off is literally to put to death. That's the way Colossians says it. Don't let it reign in your mortal body when we talk about sin. And that is you allowing it to happen, because technically, we do understand that for a Christian, you are not enslaved to sin. You never have to sin. 1 Corinthians 10:13. God has given you a way of escape that you can endure it. So never once does a Christian have to say, I must give in to my sinful temptations, my old person. Now, so what does that mean practically? Well, in the process of biblical change, that is the starting point to put off. Put off your old nature. Repent of that thing. If you're struggling with a sin sanctification issue, then where do you start? You actually have to start with repentance and putting off. This idea of putting off is putting off in its totality. I've said this to you, and I've said this to many counselees. This is not just an action, but also an attitude and thought issue. That you're putting it off in its totality. I'm not even thinking about it anymore. I'm repenting of wayward desires when I want something that doesn't match what God wants for me. That's putting off. And the reason why I have to continue to remind you, because if you just focus on the bad actions, then you forget about the heart motivations that are leading to those actions. So if you're just focused on not drinking, for instance, then you're forgetting about what you're worshiping and wanting that leads you to drinking. So you need to repent of drinking too much, yes, but then you also need to repent of what you're wanting more than you want to please the Lord when you drink. And that is this idea of putting off in its entirety. The second step that I want to highlight, and I'm going to read verse 23 and verse 24, and I'll explain why I'm going to verse 24 first. So this is verse 23, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. The second step that I want to address today is this idea of putting on, and it does come directly from verse 24. I think one of the reasons why I will come back to being renewed is because that is something that God does in you. He transforms you, Romans 12:2. He renews you. That is in the passive voice. So what are we commanded to do? What's the imperative for us? We are commanded to put on. And what do you put on according to verse 24? The new self, created after the likeness of God. We know that at the moment of salvation, that something changed within us, that we are a new creation now, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And that new self has a new identity. I've said Galatians 2:20 over and over and over. No longer is it the old Greg Gifford that lives, but Christ lives in me, or he should be. And that same thing is true for you, that as a believer, your old nature has died and now you are alive in Christ. So what do you put on this new identity? If you still have your Bible, flip over to the way that Colossians says it. Go to Colossians 3. So remember, these are kind of like sister passages. These books, Ephesians and Colossians, were both written during Paul's first Roman imprisonment. So they were written at a very similar time, within a two-year time frame. And because they're so similar, you can't help but wonder which one was first and which one was second, although we don't know if Colossians was written first and Ephesians second or vice versa. But look at what Paul says in verse 12 of Colossians 3. He says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved," verse 9, verse 8, verse 10, all have the same idea of putting off and putting on. And in verse 10, he directly says, "Put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator." Both here and in Ephesians, Paul is reminding the Colossians and the Ephesians that they have already been changed. That's important. You need to know your identity in Christ. You're confident of who you are in Christ. I did an episode on that a few weeks back. You know your identity because that basis of your identity helps you pursue further sanctification. So why not just say, hey, you're already in Christ, so do whatever you want to do. Woohoo! Let's party! Because you are actually called to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You're called to be obedient. And remember the adage of a faith that is alone never saves, meaning that you should have works that correspond to your faith. That's evidenced in your sanctification. So you are called to obey. You are called to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. So if you let your identity in Christ promote spiritual passivity, you're getting it wrong. It's never intended to legitimize laziness and spiritual laziness. Knowing who you are in Christ actually makes you more fruitful. You are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You should be zealous for good works, Titus 3. So if you're feeling a little bit like a spiritual bum, pass the Cheetos, then you're not practically engaging in your identity the way the scripture would call you to. It's based off of that security in your new identity that you are to live it out. So what is Ephesians 4:24 and Colossians 3:12 and 10 all speaking to? That you need to live out your new identity. Live it out. Act like it. 1 John 3, are you a child of God? Well, then act like it. You need to stop doing certain things. In Ephesians 4:17, you're not walking like the Gentiles walk anymore. So what are you putting on? You have some type of action that you are pursuing. And this is important when it comes to understanding the process of change. You see, I find, as I mentioned in the last episode, that many of us are great at identifying the bad things that we should stop doing. We know that with like laser, like eagle eye, I can see it from a mile away. I should not be a grumbler. But I don't always pause and say, well, what should I do instead of grumbling and complaining? And that's exactly where the put-ons of scripture come. You have not sufficiently changed unless you have started to put on. Jay Adams is known for saying, when is a liar no longer a liar? When is a liar no longer a liar? It's not whenever he or she has stopped lying. It's when he started speaking the truth. Why would you say that? Because maybe you got bronchitis. Maybe you had Ursula steal your voice and you can't talk. Just because you're not talking doesn't mean you're actually a changed person. But whenever you put on God-honoring actions, then what happens is it actually facilitates change and it begins to show us that you're a different person. You're not like that old person. So even in scripture, what you're going to find is that here in Colossians, if you're still here, you're going to see things that are called to be put on. Verse 12, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. What are you called to put on in Colossians 3, 12, 13, 14? Christ-like character, compassion, humility. When we've looked at these, I've done my best in each of the contexts here at Masters, on Transformed, wherever I'm teaching, to remind people that if you have pockets of character that are not conformed to the image of Christ, then that means there's something that needs to change. You can't just say, hey, I'm not good at compassion, or hey, I'm not good at bearing with other people. I have a short fuse. You have to be able to say, no, I'm called to put these on and to put off my impatience. I'm called to put off a heart that is not compassionate. I'm called to put off a heart that is prideful. And what do I put on? A humble heart, a meek heart, a patient heart, a kind heart. So practically speaking, these are the put-ons that you see in Colossians 3. You're also going to see that Paul uses similar ones in Ephesians 4, but he's even going to get down into the nitty-gritty. If you struggle with stealing, then you need to work. For instance, if you struggle with lying, then you need to speak the truth. And what is Paul showing us in both of these instances? That if you just say stop and you don't actually say start, then change is never going to happen in your life. If you just say stop without saying start, change is not going to happen in your life. So we need to take a short break. And when we come back, I will pick up with this exact thought. We'll be right back.
And we will be back with Dr. Gifford in just a couple of minutes as he continues to dive into the topic of breaking free from recurring sins. First, I want to highlight an incredible book we have available right now at the Transform store at transform.org. It's by Robert Jones, and it's titled Uprooting Anger. If you're struggling with anger issues, this is a book that I highly recommend. And it also goes deeper into the put-off, put-on method that Dr. Gifford is talking about. And Dr. Jones digs into the heart of motivations that drive our angry behavior and offers biblical, practical guidance on how to truly uproot anger from your life once and for all, something I know all of us have dealt with on occasion. You can buy Uprooting Anger right now and other great resources in the Transform store at transformed.org. Now, I want to take a minute to talk to you about something that is extremely close to our hearts here at Transformed. That is our mission, to bring biblical truth to bear on real life struggles that people face every single day. We're passionate about producing content just like Transformed, as well as our other resources, Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, Wretched Worldview, among all of the others. But we can't do it without support from people just like you. Would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Because it's your support that helps us continue creating Christ-centered content that touches and transforms lives. Now, we only want you to consider this if you're already giving to your local church and you're not in any type of debt. If you're struggling in those areas, get that right first. We want you to steward God's money well, and it starts there. And if you do have those areas in order and you can join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would love it if you would pray about it and log on to transform.org to get answers to any questions you might have. Now, lastly, before we get back to Dr. Gifford, I want to highlight another resource for you available at transform.org that can help you get started on the path to becoming a biblical counselor if that's something that you've been thinking about. And let me encourage you in that area if you've been thinking about it, because our churches are in dire need of biblical counselors and biblical counseling ministries. One of the first places you need to start is The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy, an outstanding guide to resolving conflict in a God-honoring way. And so whether you're dealing with family issues or church conflicts or workplace tensions, this is a book that offers practical wisdom that's rooted in Scripture. It's The Peacemaker by Ken Sandy. In my opinion, should be required reading for every Christian, but definitely required reading if you're going to be a biblical counselor. Pick it up right now at transformed.org. Now let's jump back to Dr. Gifford as he continues digging and diving in to the topic of breaking free from those pesky recurring sins. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Thank you, Jimmy. And thank you to all of you who have been memorizing scripture with me. Again, I want to emphasize Ephesians 4:22, that you would start, at least in concept, understanding putting off the old man. Using this concept of putting off the old man, we are doing our best to not live out who we were before we were in Christ. And what you'll find is if you'll commit this verse to memory, it will really be there in the times that you need it. Put off your old self. Don't live out your old nature. Memorization, Ephesians 4:22. So if you've already blazed through that, then work to verse 23, and then ultimately we'll get to 4:24 as well. So before the break, I left off with this thought that in the scripture, you're actually called to put on certain things. Let me highlight just a couple more of those. In Colossians 3, we saw character, humility, meekness. But let me highlight a couple from Ephesians 4. All right, therefore, put away falsehood and speak the truth with your neighbor. Put away falsehood, speak the truth. What are you called to put off here? Falsehood. And what are you called to put on? Speaking the truth. So if you're struggling with being a person who lies or speaks falsehood or twists the truth, then I want you to see that you have a specific put on. The put on is not to take a vow of silence. The put on is not to, in some way, go for a long walk, come back, and never talk to anybody again. You're a monk now, or a monkess, whatever the female version of a monk is. When you are struggling with lying, you actually need to put off lying and put on speaking the truth. Another example, verse 26, be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your anger. Put off unrighteous anger. If you're a person who struggles with being angry in a sinful way, you're called to put it off. And what are you to put on? You are to put on righteous anger. So what's the put on and put off? You're seeing it right here in the scripture. Again, let the thief no longer steal, verse 28. Put off stealing. It's not enough to just stop stealing, by the way. Maybe you're in jail and there's nothing to steal at this point. What are you called to actually do? Well, you repent of stealing and you put on hard work, honest work. That's verse 28. So what's the point? There are prescribed put-ons here. Falsehood, anger, stealing, corrupting communication, all of those have a counter to it. One of my mentors, and I have the privilege of calling him a friend, his name is Dr. Ernie Baker. He said that typically a put on is the opposite of whatever the put off is. So let's try to work through just a couple of examples that are not found here in the text. So when you repent of something and you put it off, don't just stop there. Actually put on steps of obedience. So if you're struggling with complaining, what might the put on be? Think about that for a second. If you're struggling with complaining, what might the put on be? Okay, I repent of complaining. Philippians 2, grumbling and complaining are sinful. I repent of it. I put it off. What should I put on? Thankfulness, gratitude. Actually say, Lord, please forgive me for grumbling in my heart today. Thank you for the provisions that you've offered to me, or thank you for the ways that I've seen you work in my life. I am truly grateful, and I'm sorry to have not seen that. Give thanks in all circumstances. So if you're struggling with grumbling and complaining, and some of you work in awful work environments, and I don't want to minimize the temptation that you might have to complaining, what has God called you to do? To put that off and to put on gratitude. So instead of complaining about your boss and how lame they are, say, Lord, thank you for my boss. You are using them. They have certain gifts that are actually helpful to our organization. Thank you. May you be honored in the way I think about my boss. In Jesus' name, amen. Boom, done. And you've just done the process of change. I also want to give you things like drinking. So if we used the actions of your life, think of drinking as an example of actions. Okay, so we would say, all right, you want to put off drinking. So if you're going to stop drinking, then what are you actually going to start doing? Well, instead of using that time at the bar, I'm going to serve at my local church. Okay. Instead of buying that six pack and bringing it home, I'm now actually going to bring groceries to someone else and put on serving other people. So instead of just saying stop drinking and you're sitting in the bar and you're going, I'm so thirsty, you would start to actually put on actions that honor the Lord. So when you start to think this way, guys, what happens is it, no pun intended, it transforms your life. Because you say, I must put off actions that are dishonoring to the Lord and put on actions that are honoring to the Lord. If I'm struggling with anxious thoughts, then what do I need to put on? If you tell me, and this is maybe just a Greg thing, if you tell me, hey, Dr. Gifford, stop being anxious, that is not helpful. I'm never like, oh, wow, never thought of that one. Thank you. I'm like, I know I should stop being anxious. And how do I do that? I have to put on thoughts about the sovereignty of God or the goodness of God or His wisdom. Put off anxious thoughts and put on thoughts about God's bigness and God's goodness in your life. Number one, repent of something and put on steps of obedience to the Lord. Number two, make your specific steps concrete or measurable. Don't make them generic. Remember I said last episode that sometimes what happens is we will repent in very generic ways. Lord, help me not to be so prideful, which is true. Everyone should pray that prayer, but what is the specific manifestation of your pride? Lord, I think I'm better than so-and-so, and that's why they annoy me so much. I see them as being dumb. Okay, now what are we called to put on? Help me to think more highly of so-and-so as an image bearer, not as a nuisance in my life. You have created them, they have gifts, and they are perfect in your sight. That's something to renew your mind with. But if you just stay at the generic level of, I need to put off pride and put on love, then I actually think you're not going to change in any meaningful way. You see, we don't change in abstract land. We don't change in fuzzy land, Dr. Street would say. We change with concrete examples and concrete steps. And I find the more concrete you can make your put-ons, the more helpful they are to you. The more concrete and specific, the more measurable, the more actionable they are. So when you do that, have a concrete step. Lord, I am tempted to be anxious right now about my finances. Help me to trust you with my finances. I know you are the one that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Help me to trust that you will provide for me as you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, think of this, parents. This is something that I encourage you to incorporate into your parenting style. Some of us have a very unilateral, one-dimensional parenting style with our kids. Stop yelling at your brother. Stop touching that. And we often tell our kids what not to do, but we don't often give them a practical what you should do. So if your child is wrestling with a disrespectful heart, what are some put-ons you can encourage them to take? If your child is wrestling with a selfish heart, what are ways you can help them put on serving other people? And explain exactly what you're doing. Hey, you need to put off that attitude and you need to put on an attitude like this. This is what the Bible calls us to do. And that doesn't mean that they have miraculously been changed, but they're at least learning that when they are struggling and sinning against the Lord, that they can change and that there are practical things to pursue when so doing. So in my house, and my boys can ratify this, if they get too mean with each other, one of the things that I say is, all right, boys, I want you to give me three things that you're thankful for about the other person. And they're like, oh, no. And that's important because what it does is instead of just saying, hey, stop making fun of each other, I'm saying, hey, I want you to give thanks for the other person now. So go ahead. Three things. What you got? So what have I said so far? Number one, when you repent of something, don't just stop there. Put on steps of obedience. Number two, make those steps concrete and specific. Number three, teach your kids to do the same. Help them to learn how to put on certain steps. Okay, number four, when you do this long enough, this just simply becomes who you are, which is why I am leaving Be Renewed for last. I actually think that you put off and put on long enough that the put on is just your response now. that God has actually changed you, and he's used your spirit-filled obedience to help do that. So you are renewed. You're not as anxious. You're not struggling with grumbling as much. You're not struggling with anger as much. Why? Because you have put on the steps in the scripture that call you to obeying the Lord. So do this and watch how the struggle of the put offs actually diminish and lessen. And I encourage you, lastly, I know Jimmy mentions this over the break, but I would go to transform.org. And if you're saying, you know what, I really want to work on gratitude or want to work on contentment, then go to transform.org, check out the bookstore and find a good resource to help you with that put on. But remember that principle. Generally, the put on is the opposite of the put off. So we got to be done for today. Let me pray for us. And then I look forward to talking with you guys again next week. Lord, thank you for the listeners. These truths are so precious. They are transformative. They're life-changing. Lord, help impress upon the listener that your word is not abstract, but your word gives concrete steps for change. And may that bring freedom, yes, but ultimately may it bring glory to you and your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
This has been Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Gospel Partners Media. Our website, of course, is transformed.org, and it is your central hub for finding in-depth information on all things Transformed. If you've enjoyed Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly Gospel Partner? And until next time, go serve your King.